Blog Talk Radio.
Gus Elvin here for the Sipping the Swede podcast. We have Ben Arledge joining the program in a minute. It's been a little while since we've been on the air. We've had some schedule conflicts lately, but back at it. And we're going to get going here and start talking about the Western Conference playoff race. I'm going to let Ben Arledge in right now. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
Really heating up right now. The West is really heating up right now, and a lot going on in the East right now, too, with Ottawa emerging. So we'll dive into all of that, obviously, at some point. I guess let's get it going with the West, though. There's five or six teams right now that are all fighting for four playoff spots. Who do you think's on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I think right now we can narrow it down to six teams, really, for four spots. The Avs have been playing well recently, but with McKinnon out for the year and the points they do still have to make up, it's unlikely to see them make a move. Not out of the question, but I would eliminate Colorado and Dallas from that conversation, at least for now. I think it comes down to Minnesota, Vancouver, Calgary, Winnipeg, L.A., and even San Jose, who's just holding on. I myself think that it's going to come down to the very end of the year. I think Calgary, Winnipeg, L.A., and Vancouver are all going to be fighting it out for those last couple spots. The two teams I like to make the playoffs and get those two wildcard spots are Calgary and L.A. I just think Calgary is too good right now. And when you look at some of the other teams in this race right now, you look at San Jose, a team that's been faltering of late. A team that also has off-the-ice issues that we'll get into later surrounding Joe Thornton. You see a team like L.A. that has this championship pedigree that's starting to play good hockey. I just think sooner or later L.A. is going to get over the hump. They've been playing excellent here since the All-Star break. And this young Calgary team, everyone's been writing them off. Enough of an effort here to get into the playoffs. Extremely young team, Johnny Gaudreau, Sean Monahan. Even without Giordano, who looked to be a huge loss right at the trade deadline when he went down for the year with a torn bicep, I still think this Calgary team is going to have enough. Just when you look at the teams they're going to be battling, Calgary, I think, gets in over Winnipeg. As Winnipeg's injuries right now and lack of a goal scorer are really coming back to bite them. And Calgary's just been getting decent goaltending from Ramo and Hiller, the combination that's been going all year there. And like I said, their young players are playing well.
You got to think about Yuri Hudler too. He's got 6 goals in his last 7 games, 12 points in that. And you're bringing up Kari Ramo. He's been strong of late too. So I completely agree. I think Calgary is going to be one of the teams. I don't think they're going to take the division spot, however. I believe they will be a wild card. I see LA actually jumping them and getting that third Pacific seat. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I think LA, like I said, it's a veteran team. They've been playing good hockey recently. They've got back to the successful recipe they've had for the last 3 or 4 years now. I think L.A., with the way John Quick's playing recently, I think L.A. gets over Calgary. That's a really interesting matchup when you talk about one team that's extremely experienced. And then Calgary, who really only has 3 or 4 guys on that roster that have considerable playoff experience. Hudler's the guy you mentioned who has a lot of experience so far. Detroit in the postseason. Dennis Wiedemann's another Jonas Hiller in goal has some experience with the Ducks, but not a lot of playoff experience in that Calgary team, but they just keep proving the doubters wrong. They need to clean up the first period. That's been a huge problem spot for them all year. They have the worst goal differential in the league in the first period, but this team has a lot of heart. They're playing kind of above their age, and I think you just have to look at Bob Hartley as one of the Coach of the Year favorites. Probably will win it with what's happening in Nashville, but terrific job, because I don't think any of us saw Calgary being this good this fast. We knew they had some young players on the rise, but I think that they're one or two years ahead of schedule right now with this rebuilding Calgary. And honestly, a fan base that really deserves it, a great fan base, and it's really been exciting to see those young guys playing so well in Calgary.
Yeah, Monahan and Goudreau, you brought them up. Sneakily, they have a combined 104 points, both over 50 for the year so far. They've been extremely impressive, and they're heart and soul of that team, especially now with Mark Giordano out. I mean, Dennis Wiedemann and TJ Brody have kind of stepped up their offensive defensive play to make up the difference. But in the end, I see Calgary making the playoffs, and I see LA making the playoffs as well. Despite missing Tanner Pearson, Alec Martinez still out with concussion. Jarrett Stoll didn't skate tonight. But I think this is a team that plays their best hockey when they need to play their best hockey. It's no secret that they're a playoff team, but they're a team that will definitely play their best hockey down the stretch here and make the playoffs. Quick's playoff save percentage jumps from 915 to 923 on the career from regular season to postseason. He's a much better goalie when the games matter. He's similar to Lundqvist in that department, where Lundqvist always starts slow and always picks up toward the end of the year and is like that in the playoffs. Quick's similar to that. And I see, for that reason, LA making the playoffs, and not only just making the playoffs, but playing Vancouver in that Pacific 2-3 matchup in the first round.
Yeah, I think then, LA, when you just look at this team recently, they've just turned on the switch. It was kind of a remains to be seen whether this team was maybe getting over, were they too old, were they over the hill, where a lot of these guys, we saw Richards go down to the minors and basically be a non-factor now. Was this team kind of, was their run over? But recently it doesn't look that way. LA's back to playing the way they play, great defensive team that's won with versatility and depth the last few years. Quick has been phenomenal of late, 12-3-1 in his last 15 with a 9.28 save percentage and a 1.78 goals. The Kings have points in 13 of 17. Like we said, we have guys who've been here forever here. We got Carter, we got Kopitar, Williams, Brown, Doughty. All the usual suspects are back at it. And I just think that LA, once they get into the playoffs, which I believe they will, they're still going to be a tough out, and they're going to defend that cup very strongly despite their seed.
And then Minnesota is another team that I think will definitely be in the playoffs. Currently, according to playoffstats.com, they have a 16% chance of missing the playoffs, one of the two lowest of these six teams we're discussing right now. Dubnyk has just been absurd. In 26 starts since coming to Minnesota, he's 25-1 with a 9.39 save percentage, 1.66 goals against average, 5 shutouts in those 26 starts. He's only had 14 in his 201 game career. So he's been just lights out in Minnesota. He might be the answer for the crease, basically, for Minnesota going forward past this season. And outside of the crease, you know, Minnesota's had to make up for losing Jason Zucker. You know, he had 18 goals in 48 games for them. Should be back for the playoffs. They're going to need Marco Scandella back, too. He's been a strong part of that defense. The deadline deals that they made, getting Chris Stewart and Sean Bergenheim, have both paid off so far. Both have been good additions. I believe Chris Stewart has 2 goals since coming over to Minnesota. I like this team top to bottom. I think this is a team that can get into the playoffs and not necessarily make a too big a run, but definitely create some trouble for some of those one seeds that they might be facing.
Yeah, not to stay on Minnesota for too long here, but I completely agree. I think this is actually the safest of the teams in the playoff race right now. You mentioned Dubnyk. As a team, this team's 18-4-1 since January 27th. They've gone all in. Now, 2 years ago, they make the big moves for Suter and Parise, give them the big long-term contracts to bring those guys home. Last year, they picked up Molson and Pominville at the deadline. This offseason, they get Vanek. This year, they add Bergenheim and Stewart. This team has the pieces right now, and they're really rolling. The issue was goaltending. Right now, Dubnyk is looking like a guy who's more than capable of fulfilling that. We'll see how that works out in the playoffs, but right now, Minnesota is rolling like nobody else in the league. And I think when you look at their young defense, like you said, if once Scandella is back, it's an extremely strong six-man defense core. You talk about Parise and Pominville, guys who are proven goal scorers in this league. Thomas Vanek's been inconsistent, but has been hot of late. And Chris Stewart looks like the guy that he was in St. Louis. The big question with him was whether it would a change of scenery, would leaving the worst team in the league and putting him on a playoff contender revive that spark and get him playing his old potential in terms of hockey. And that's what's happened. It looks like Stewart's engaged. He's finishing his checks. He brings physicality. And like you said, two goals already, and he looks to be fitting in nicely there in Minnesota in what's a very deep team when you look at all four lines.
And the final of the four teams that we're saying are probably going to make the playoffs out of those six, Vancouver, obviously struggling without Ryan Miller, but Eddie Lack's been strong enough to get them into the playoffs, I believe, sitting at 82 points right now, 1 point above Calgary in the second seed for the Pacific. What makes Vancouver a playoff team?
I just think that they are going to do enough, and I think they have enough experience. Winnipeg, to me, is the team that's really leaking water right now. Hutchinson's been roughed up a few starts here. Pavlik let in a horrible goal the other night in a relief appearance that cost them a couple points in a big game against St. Louis. They have Perreault injured. Bufflin's still not back, although he should be back maybe later this week. I just don't know if Winnipeg has enough firepower to get over that hump and into the playoffs. I think Vancouver holds on. When you look at that top line, the Sedins and Verbata have been very good this year. Verbata's had a great season, been one of the best free agent signings in the NHL. The issue there, like you said, Eddie Lack's been pretty good, actually. 5-2-1 as a starter since Miller's gone down. 9.32 save, 2.18 goals against. Pretty solid there from the Swede. The question will be, can their depth guys be consistent enough? They have a lot of these guys who've had good years here and there, but Cassian's a guy who's been so inconsistent early and has traded a very high draft pick by Buffalo. I think he was 13th overall a few years back. He needs to be a Milan Lucic kind of presence, a physical forward who also has some skill. We've seen plenty of flashes of it over his time, but just not enough consistent games. Ditto for Burrows. Sean Mathias has had a good year for them. Chris Higgins has been up and down. They need these guys who've been known for being inconsistent players to start playing well here and really carry this team over the hump. I do think this team gets in. I think they sneak in as the final playoff team, but right now it remains to be seen if they have enough. I think it comes down to them and Winnipeg for that last spot in terms of the last wild card.
I think Winnipeg misses out too. You mentioned that Big Buff is missing time. Tyler Myers is playing hurt right now. And they keep giving Pavlik starts for some reason. His numbers haven't been great. They have a good goaltender in Hutchinson. I don't think Winnipeg has the ability to beat out some of these other teams. And San Jose, we're going to jump into. We'll skip ahead and talk a little bit about Joe Thornton. This team just doesn't have much of an identity for me right now. It's a team that's attempting to make playoffs with an older roster, but at the same time trying to get younger and build for the future. They're currently sitting 4 points out of the playoffs. I don't see San Jose moving on, and there's just more turmoil every week with that squad. This week, of course, Joe Thornton having words about the executive offices after losing captaincy in the offseason. What do you think about San Jose?
Yeah, I think that this is the problem that we've had with San Jose for a few years. They had their window. They've had some great regular seasons. They went to the playoffs, and everything that happened in the regular season just did a 180. Last year, they're up 3-0 on the Kings. It looks like, hey, this might be the year the Sharks finally put it together. I actually had the Sharks last year as my team to get out of the West. I thought they were playing well at the right time of the year. They looked great in that early in that series, but then it all fell apart. No changes in the offseason. I think that was a huge surprise. Everyone thought they were going to change coaches. Everyone thought Thornton or Marlowe, one of those guys, would be gone. They bring back the same core of players. Niemi is back, same head coach. Not enough of a shakeup there. And like you said, they're caught in between a rock and a hard place. Are they going for it? Are they not? It's hard to tell with the ages on this roster. I think you talk about the turmoil with Joe Thornton and Doug Wilson. That's not what you need right now, especially from a guy who's formerly your captain. They've been treading water here in their last 16. I think they're 6-10-1. 6-9-1 in their last 16 games. I think you're exactly right on this team. They're stuck between two spots. They have a lot of off the ice issues, and frankly, a lot of their guys are just past their prime. And I think in a league where you can't hold on too long, you either have to start rebuilding or go for it. They're stuck between the two spaces, and that's really going to cost them down the stretch here. they've been fading fast, and they're starting to lose some traction, almost or even completely out of this race with the way they've been playing the last few weeks.
And we'll jump over to the East here and pick apart the three teams that are kind of in the contention right now for that final playoff spot. There's not as much competition in the East. We'll start with Ottawa. Andrew Hammond has been lights out. 9.55 save percentage, 1.39 goals against average. He's 10-0-1. And now suddenly Ottawa, who everybody kind of thought was out of it, is now just 5 points back with a game in hand. Mike Hoffman has been excellent for them. Erik Karlsson has, you know, always been a strong defenseman on the offensive side of the game. He's doing it again this year. The one thing that I think Ottawa missed out on is not making a move at the deadline. They were the only team in the NHL that didn't make a move for some reason in the month leading up to the deadline. And here they are contending for that final spot with Boston and Florida. And that might be the difference maker here.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point you bring up with the deadline. I don't think Ottawa saw this coming. I think that's the reason they didn't make a move. I think they didn't see themselves as a contender this year. They've kind of got lightning in a bottle here with Hoffman and Net. Hamburglar Mania is taking over Ottawa. They had a promotion last Friday, giving away hamburger to everybody in attendance. Somebody threw a hamburger on the ice last night to him. He's the second goalie in league history to have his first 10 starts and not give up more than two goals. He's got a point in his first 10 starts. He's only the fifth guy since 1972 to do that. So this is a historic run from Andrew Hammond, a really unlikely suspect. Got a Bowling Green, a guy who had twice as many losses in college as wins on a very bad team, albeit. This guy's been phenomenal since getting recalled from the AHL, and he really has kind of put Ottawa on his back. You mentioned Erik Karlsson's been very good offensively, as he always is. They have a lot of young players here that are having great years. Mark Stone, Hoffman, Zibanejad, all having career years so far. Turris has been up and down. They need more from him and Bobby Ryan here if they're really going to make a push. Two guys who've been in the league for some time, and two of their best pure offensive players. Ryan and Turris are guys who can get really streaky, especially Ryan, and they're going to need him to get hot here and pour in some goals down the stretch if Ottawa is to make it. Hammond right now is the best story in the NHL the last few weeks, and he's really kind of brought Ottawa back from the dead and has them at least in a prayer shot here of getting that 8 seed.
And then we look at Florida. Florida's a team that everybody thought might have a shot of knocking out Boston, and they've kind of squandered recently. You can point to Luongo possibly being the problem here. I'm going to argue the opposite, actually. Dan Ellis has been pretty strong in his five games in March so far. He's gotten points in four of them with three wins. His save percentage has been 9.29 with a 1.95 goals against average. Luongo was 9.21 on the season so far. So Dan Ellis has been strong. I don't think that's the problem. The problem is that in seven of the last 12 games, they've scored two or less goals. And you can't win games when you're doing that when you're playing elite teams. And upcoming, they got Montreal, Detroit, Boston, Tampa Bay. Certainly some teams that they can make some ground on, but those are some tough teams to be facing when you're trying to stay in the race. When you look at the last 10 games, Ottawa's got 8 wins, Boston's got 7, Florida's only got 5 with 3 losses and 2 in overtime. Florida is squandering very quickly, even though they have Luongo coming back soon.
Yeah, I think you brought up a great point. Ellis has done his job. It's been more of the offense, and I think we're starting to see that youth kind of set in. These are a lot of guys who haven't been in a playoff race, who frankly weren't expected to be in a playoff race this early. They have not been scoring the puck recently. You mentioned the next stretch here. Huge three games here at home starting tomorrow. They get Montreal on a back-to-back. Then they play Detroit, Boston. A huge opportunity for Florida here. It's kind of sink or swim. We'll kind of know where this team sits after, I think, this three- or four-game stretch. But it's been more the offense than Luongo's injury. Maybe they lose something with Luongo in terms of a veteran presence, but Ellis has done his job in terms of stopping the puck, and they need the forwards to really chip in here and start scoring, or else Florida's going to sink further and further away from that eighth spot.
And speaking of that eighth spot, we may as well jump right into the team that's currently sitting in it, your Boston Bruins. Currently 82 points, 5-point cushion on Ottawa, 4 points back in Washington after their win tonight over Buffalo. Break down what's going on in Boston right now.
The Bruins are back, folks. It's It seems that way. This team was at rock bottom about exactly a month ago. They had a three-game stretch where just nothing went right. They blew a 3-0 lead against Calgary and lost in overtime. They lose a shootout to Edmonton in a game where they missed all 12 of their penalty shot attempts. Then that Friday night, they lose an embarrassing 5-1 game to St. Louis, where they were just, frankly, skated rings around by St. Louis. Malcolm Subban was tough and had a really tough debut in net. And it just seemed like this team was ready to fall, and there was talk that maybe they might blow it up. That Sunday, they played the Chicago Blackhawks and came out and played a terrific game on national TV, win 6-2. And since then, the Bruins have been their old self. They have a point in 8 of the last 9. They're 7-1-1 in that stretch. The only game without a point was last night, you mentioned, against Washington. Two guys to talk about here are Ryan Spooner and David Pastrnak, two young guys. The Bruins are known for being a workmanlike team. They don't have all these high-end skilled players. Pastrnak and Spooner are those type of guys. They bring a different element to the offense. Pastrnak's been unbelievable. Talked about the youngest guy in the NHL. This guy was the youngest guy in the AHL before getting recalled by Boston. He has 19 points in 33 games this year. He's a plus 12. And just frankly, when you watch him, you see the kind of skills that he has, and he just adds so much to that team offensively. Spooner has 8 points in 9 games since being recalled ahead of the New Jersey game that he ends up scoring the OT winner, his first career NHL goal. And I think Spooner has really shot some life into Milan Lucic. Lucic has a point in 6 of 8 games and really is kind of playing the way you're used to seeing Lucic play in the postseason, finishing his checks, a lot of energy, and getting to the dirty areas and finishing some opportunities he gets. I really think it's an underrated aspect of this Bruins team to see how much life Spooner has brought into Milan Lucic and really has him rolling again. Brad Marchand's been carrying this team for the last month, and now that you have Lucic going and Bergeron going, some of these young guys like Pastrnak and Spooner, Rask has been very good in that. The Bruins are really starting to roll, and I think Saturday was a perfect example. Not a pretty game, but a classic Bruins game under Claude Julien. Dominated all three zones, limited offensive opportunities from Pittsburgh, and grinded out a win by playing a very good defensive hockey team. I think Boston's getting back to their recipe under Claude Julien. Team is going to be a dangerous outcome Stanley Cup playoff time.
Certainly, and the team that might have to play them in the first round is my New York Rangers, who right now are the hottest team in the league. 8-1-1 over the last 10, and they're doing it all without Henrik Lundqvist in the net, who's still recovering from that neck injury. They are set back a little bit up front, too. St. Louis has announced that he's going to be out 2 weeks right now. He's actually second in the team in goals and third in points, so he's definitely going to be a miss up front. However, it will allow them to move some things around, try some different things here with the playoffs all locked up, just trying to get that President's Trophy basically at this point. Kevin Klein back on the point. He's out 3 to 4 weeks, bringing up Hunwick now. That could be an interesting play, losing Klein's offense on the defense side of the puck. Rick Nash, you know, he's been a big part of this team this year. He's at 39 goals this year. He'll be a bona fide 40-goal scorer, no doubt, for the third time in his career. And Derek Brassard has quietly put up 52 points, which is the second best on the team. You don't really notice that throughout the year, but he's been a huge contribution to this team. But over the last week or so, it's been all about the goalbuster, Cam Talbot. 9.67 save percentage in March with a 1.0 goals against average, 5-0-1. Been lights out for them. There's been some talk about possibly giving him starts in the playoffs. You don't do that unless Henrik comes back and is either just playing horrendously in those few regular season games that he does get before the playoffs start, or if he's not 100% healthy, then maybe you look to Talbot a little bit and ride some of this hot streak. But you run with Henrik Lundqvist, you run with your goat there into the playoffs. But this is definitely a team that can make some noise, definitely the best team in the league right now, both in the standings and just their style of play. You could tell at the deadline they were going all in, basically trading their future to get a defenseman in Keith Yandle. And this is definitely going to be a tough team in the playoffs. So as we end the show here, let's take a look at the star of the week. Who you got this week, Gus?
My player of the week is Scotty Hartnell, a guy who's out of the postseason race right now with Columbus. It's been a tough year for the Blue Jackets. They really regressed after last season, making so many strides and really giving Pittsburgh a run there in the playoffs. Really a step back of a year. Hartnell has quietly had a pretty good year for them. 3-1 this week for Columbus. He scores 5 goals, scores in all 4 of Columbus's games this week. Been a tough year in Columbus, but Scott Hartnell gets the recognition this week for scoring in all 4 games and having a 5-goal week for the Blue Jackets.
And my goalies of the week, I'm going to go with 2 guys that we've already discussed in depth during the show, but they deserve it. Cam Talbot with New York Rangers going 3-0-0 this week with a 1.0 goals against average and 9.69 save percentage. Made a huge glove save against the Capitals the other night. He's been lights out for them, and certainly keeping the Rangers not just in the mix, but the best in the league right now while they wait for Lundqvist to come back. And then Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar up in Ottawa. Also 3 wins and 3 starts this week, 1.30 goals against average and a 9.57 save percentage. He's helped Ottawa come back into the mix now. Ottawa's only 5 points back. They could end up being a playoff team, and most of the credit probably goes to him towards this push here. Those are my 2 goalies of the week, but I also want to point out my co-host here, Gus Elvin, leading the Connecticut Hockey League in points and goals right now, 23 points and 13 goals in 17 games. I actually played goal for them last night, watched him get a goal and an assist. He's been lights out for the ESPN team.
Hoping to catch on here with one of these contenders, Buffalo and Arizona. You can go through my agent if you're interested in bottom 6 forward. Good to have you on again, Ben. I was going to get on you there about picking 2 goalies, but you really can't argue with you couldn't separate those 2 guys this week. Hamburglar's been the story in Ottawa, and Cam Talbot, after a very rough start when Lundqvist was first injured, he's really picked up his play, and he's been phenomenal for New York the last couple weeks, really solidifying that goal and helping New York really hold on to that 1 seed for now.
Absolutely, and hopefully they get Lundqvist back healthy, then when he comes back, and maybe we end up seeing that Boston-New York first-round matchup that it looks like it's aligned to be right now. So that'd be a great first round and a way to start the playoffs off.
All right, guys, that's all we have for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll hopefully be back on here again next week, hoping to not have so much of a delay as we did between these first 2 shows. But next week we will be back on air. Have a good week. I'm Gus Elvin, and for my co-host Ben Arledge, take care and enjoy the Sim and the Suite podcast here on Block Talk Radio.